fire rescue, EMS, law enforcement. These are the three components of public safety. And those who answer the call are the first responders. Welcome to another episode of Five Alarm Task Force, news and issues for today's first responders with your host, Steve Green. Five Alarm Task Force presents some of the best instructors and mentors in public safety today to educate, elucidate, and entertain. No topic is out of bounds and every opinion has value. Five Alarm Task Force is brought to you by Insight Fire Training, LLC, your best bet for fire service thermal imaging camera training, and our promotional partners, Dalmatian Productions, The Firehouse Tribune, Chief Miller Products and Sites, Hennessy Distributing, your source for the cool towel, the Firefighter Cancer Foundation, fighting to extinguish firefighting cancer since 2004, the Firefighter Cancer Support Network, and the 2019 Great Florida Fire School. Remember, our ultimate goal is for you to be safe and return home after every call. So insert those earphones or turn up those speakers. The 5-Alarm Task Force is being dispatched right now. New technology for the fire service seems to appear almost every day, and that technology demands a learning curve, especially if we're talking about thermal imaging cameras. That's where Insight Fire Training, LLC is your best bet. With an excellent reputation across the U.S., Insight Fire Training will meet all your TIC training needs. Their curriculum is peer-reviewed and has been used internationally. Their instructors are Level 1 thermography certified, and they have taught in 33 states and 4 countries. Their courses run from introductory to training the trainers. Courses are available online, for the classroom, classroom hybrid, and even live fire. Insight Training LLC is proficient in over 40 thermal imaging cameras, so you feel confident they will know your make and model. Best of all, programs are customized to your specific needs, and their cadre of fire service veterans are vetted craftsmen of Project Kill the Flashover. They are so proficient that they have trained TIC manufacturers on how to best use and sell their own product. That's Insight Fire Training, LLC. Look them up on InsightTrainingLLC.com, your best bet for TIC training. Would you like to meet up with Andy and the team from Insight Training? Well, 2019 will be the year to do it. Here's their upcoming schedule. January 10th, Tactical TIC Training with Max Firebox at Oak Grove Volunteer Fire Department. February 2nd, the 2019 Midwinter's Chiefs Conference Tactical Thermal Imaging Lecture. February 6th through the 8th, the Texas Association of Fire Educators with Sean Blomaker of Max Firebox. More details to follow. February 12th, Tactical Thermal Imaging, Enhancing Fireground Strategies and Tactics, sponsored by FD Tactics Training. Details to follow. February 28th, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., it's the Max Firebox Burn and Learn Thermal Imaging Training at Mount Pleasant Volunteer Fire Department in North Carolina with instructors Terrence Shoemate and Thomas Anderson. Details to follow. March 6th through the 9th, the Louisiana Instructors and Firefighters Training Conference. Registration open November 1st. Brotherhood on the Bayou will host some amazing fire service leaders, Mike Dugan, Mark Von Appen, Sean Blomaker, and Andy of Max Firebox and KTF. Don't miss this one. We will be teaching 7 4-hour sessions from 6th to the 9th. April 9th through the 13th at FDIC 2019, a general conference presentation that will cover the often confusing and complex areas of thermal imaging from purchasing to policy. This is not a sales presentation. It is an educational program that is designed to assist firefighters in understanding the specifications of fire service, thermal imaging camera, and how that will affect their ability to perform on the fire ground. May 10th through 12th, the West Virginia Public Safety Expo. Insight Training will conduct an 8-hour live fire training event where students will compete various scenario objectives. July 2019, the TEX 2019. Details to follow. August, the North Carolina SAFRE Conference in Raleigh. Live fire, 8-hour tactical TIC training, tentative. And December 19th, Springfield, Ohio, IAFF Firefighters Conference, tentative. Remember, Insight Training, LLC, your best bet for TIC training. we want to take a moment to tell you about one of our great promotional partners, the Firehouse Tribune. The Firehouse Tribune is an emergency services web-based platform where individuals can learn, train, and share ideas and experiences. In life, both on duty and off, we live by one creed. Excellence is a habit, not a goal. Interested? Find them on Twitter at FH Tribune and visit their website at www.thefirehousetribune.com. Remember to always work hard, stay safe, and live inspired.
Welcome to Chief Miller. Chief Miller operates the largest social media page dedicated to the men and women of the fire service from around the world. Check him out on Instagram at Chief_Miller. Find him on Twitter at Chief_Miller. And check out the website where you can find Chief Miller Apparel at ChiefMillerApparel.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of 5 Alum Task Force News and Issues for today's first responders. We hope you are all well and are enjoying a wonderful and happy holiday season as best as you can. And that's what we all have to do. We always have to try our best. Without trying our best, we're not giving ourselves a chance. So please, we hope you, this is probably going to be the last show before the new year. And at this point, I do want to thank everybody, our listeners, for being listeners all around the world. It's amazing. We love you all. And so we wish for you and yours a very happy new year, one that brings you peace and serenity and the good things that you want and the good things that you deserve. I'd like to remind you that you can always find our podcast and all the episodes on our website at www.dalmatianproductions.tv. You can also find us on almost every single podcast streaming service today, like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, etc. Just look for 5 Alum Task Force. When you visit our homepage, please don't forget to sign up for our newsletter. No, it's not spam. It just comes out maybe every 3 to 4 weeks, news and bulletins and stuff like that about Dalmatian Productions and the podcast. If you do listen to us using iTunes, please, please, please remember to rate us 5 stars. Not only does that raise our ranking with iTunes, but it also helps other interested parties find us much more quickly. And if you like the show and you want to share your interest in the show and support a great charity, you can go to our storefront with our friends from Teespring. You head over to the website, which is bit.ly/DalmatStore, capital D as in David, A-L-M-A-T, capital S as in store, T-O-R-E, and choose from several t-shirts or mugs. And remember, a portion of the net proceeds goes to the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation. And yes, you are hearing me through a kind of muffled voice. Unfortunately, for the holidays, I got bronchitis and doesn't want to leave. It wants to stay through the new year. So I apologize for that in advance. But I am happy to say that coming back today for a second part, I guess is the best way of saying this, is two gentlemen who have become, I would say, friends already because of our intense connection when we first met at the beginning of the month. And that's Jeff Rountree and Bill Hamilton of Hoods for Heroes. If you haven't listened to their podcast, I ask you to please listen to it. They have engaged, and they're not firefighters, by the way. They've never been in the fire service, but they have seen the impact of cancer in the fire service. Those of you who are regular listeners know that it is one of my singular foci of this show. And they have taken on a task to provide a new type of flash hood. We've all had flash hoods for, you know, maybe 20 years already. And maybe once in a while we toss them in the wash and clean them. But unfortunately, through testing, we found that those hoods don't necessarily protect us from the soot, the toxins, and the carcinogens on the most delicate places of our body, which is our neck and our face area. This new hood that they are giving away, yes, not selling, giving away to departments across the country and even outside of the U.S., is a different weave and does prevent those particulates from getting through. Recently, they have requests through from 16 states, from Southern California, from the Boston and Worcester area, my hometown, Oregon, and even British Columbia in Canada. Recently, they just gave hoods out to the city of St. Augustine Fire Department and the St. John's Fire Department in Florida. And these requests are coming in, and the departments don't pay for these hoods. Bill and Jeff are working their butts off, raising funds to purchase these hoods and then giving them to departments. So we learned about the program in the first podcast. It's important that you listen to that podcast as a foundation for today's show. These two guys, as I said, weren't in the fire service, but they were insurance brokers, and they designed a policy that provides excellent protection for firefighters, God forbid, they get that wrong diagnosis. And as some of you know, if you've heard, that 3 weeks ago, I had to go through a test to see if I possibly did have a bone marrow problem. And thank God in heaven that I didn't. I was clear. But I can tell you that those 3 weeks are 3 weeks that you live on pins and needles, having been through it. So in today's show, we're going to address two main issues. The first is, you're a firefighter and you're diagnosed with cancer. You need treatment. Who's going to pay for that treatment? So we're going to address that first. So Jeff and Bill, number one, it's an honor and pleasure to welcome you guys back to the show. Thank you so much for taking more time out of your busy schedule to join me and my listeners and address this topic. So why don't you get us started down this road of, here's Joe Smith, firefighter for 15 years, relatively healthy, and boom, he gets diagnosed with, let's say, colon cancer. What happens next?
Well, Steve, thanks for having us, and thanks for the kind words. Bill and I are honored as well to be invited back to join you in this discussion of the epidemic that's going on with cancer in fire service. We invited a guest of ours today that we have had the pleasure of meeting a few months ago and building a relationship with her and her family and their journey since her husband, who is a 12-year firefighter, was diagnosed with cancer. So part of that, we will introduce Tanya so she can kind of share her story. You know, for us, it's become apparent that this is the question least talked about, which is who's actually paying for cancer in fire service. There's a lot of talk of reducing exposure and how do I decon better? Or do we have a hood swap program? So a lot of different ways on how can we reduce these numbers.
Sure.
But nobody really talks about the cost of cancer and how can we pay for it or prepare for it, knowing that the risk is so high now. How do we actually pay for it and what's available to help us pay for it? So that's part of that two-part conversation that we're going to have with you here today, as you alluded to.
Sounds good.
Yeah, and thanks, Steve, for welcoming us back to the show. Just to kind of follow up on what Jeff said, that's, you know, getting back to the mission and how we all started this. Again, it's super, super important that we address how do we reduce the exposure. But the reality is firefighting is a dangerous profession. Yep. These guys put themselves in harm's way. And the reality is we can reduce it, but we can't eliminate it. So we have to make sure that we can do everything we can to help these guys be prepared for, you know, the potential financial impact when and if they are diagnosed. So we're happy to share that information with you and your audience.
Well, that's great. And I think this is going to be very important information. As I review the stats of the show every once in a while, I'm always still amazed to see that the shows where we discuss cancer in the fire service always have the highest numbers of downloads and accesses, embeds, and every manner of contact. Those shows are usually at the top of the list. So I'm sure that this one is going to be, because I think, as you mentioned, this is a very important question that's not really discussed. And as a matter of fact, until you brought it up when you were here at the studio at the beginning of the month, I didn't even think of it. And I've been working, you know, on this topic, you know, for almost 2 years now. And I never thought about it that way. I just assumed that it was going to be health insurance or the workman's comp. But then as we talked a little bit last time, I started realizing, wait a second, this is going to be, workman's comp is very tough. And there are states that, you know, you can't sometimes even get a heart attack covered under workman's comp. So let's address this now for our listeners. Let's talk about if we want to start with Tanya. And Tanya, thank you very much for joining us. Know that from all of our regular listeners, we send you and your husband our prayers and best wishes. And that we're always going to look for the best side. And that's what we're going to pray for. We're going to pray for the best side, the best outlook.
Thank you, Steve. I really do appreciate that. And thank you for allowing me to come on here with Bill and Jeff today and share my story. I appreciate that.
That's important, and it's that everybody hears the story so they know it's not just, we're not just talking in the cloud, so to speak. This is real. This is the facts. This is what happens.
So I'll introduce Tanya. She is, she's been in the insurance business for 15 years, mm-hmm. right? In that range, as discussed, her husband, Jeremy, has been a firefighter for the past 12 years, coming up on 13 years. And Tanya happened to find us at an event locally. Well, I'll let you tell it. How did you find us, Tanya?
So actually what happened is shortly after my husband was diagnosed with cancer, everyone pointed to the fact that there has to be something for him in our state here of Florida.
Right.
And through my research, realized there's nothing for firefighters in cancer here in Florida. And I came across a benefit that Bill and Jeff were taking part of with Hoods for Heroes that actually acknowledged the connection between firefighters and cancer. So I just literally shot them an email and just said, thank you for acknowledging the connection.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, a friendship started. I showed up a few days later at an event that they were having to introduce myself and share my story with them personally and let them know how much I appreciate the fact that they are stepping outside of their normal lives and what they were called to do in insurance and step out to help these firefighters with such an amazing product.
It is. And to think that this is coming from two people with no background in the fire service is, to me, that was the hook. I mean, these two guys just decided to dedicate themselves to this issue and this task. And for that, they were automatically connected in my heart.
Well, I think what we found out, Steve, is firefighters and their families do a great job of helping to protect our communities, but it's very rare that they're going to step up and ask for help.
Very true.
And it's our job to fill that void. You know, that it's a thankless job, much like most first responders. But the more we realize the issue, the more we realize that it's our job as a community to step in and make people aware of the challenges and the dangers that these guys actually deal with, and then to help offer solutions to keep them safe while they keep us safe. So that was really the mission behind what we're doing.
Right. And, you know, I think part of it, and Tanya, I'm sure you know this from Jeremy's years in fire service, is we're a family. And we, you know, there are certain things that a family will talk about. So when somebody is ill or under the weather, they've had a loss or whatever, the family, they have no problem talking to another member of the family, in quotes. But they still feel that when we do that, we're keeping it private. We're keeping it within those four walls of our second family. But you're right. We don't like talking about it outside to the general public, because probably one of the concerns is the pride that we have in who we are and what we do. And if we're not able to do it, our ego, unfortunately, gets in the way a little bit, and we often fail to properly take care of ourselves if it means going outside the family. It's one thing to ask a guy to swap a couple of shifts with you so you can go to a couple of doctor's appointments, and that's fine. Everybody does that and they'll switch. But to say, ask a neighbor just somebody else at work, could you cover for me because I have to go with my husband? That's just not our style, basically. We are a family no matter what our heritage, no matter what our faith is. When we put on that badge, we are a family, and that includes us, our spouses, and our kids. And grandma and grandpa and the cousins and everything like that. But it's important to us. And I think that's what makes firefighters such a strong and positive group in our society, because we work off the concept of family. And there's a lot of pride involved with that. So let's continue on. Let's continue with Tanya, with your story. Now that you've made contact with Jeff and Bill, what happened next?
Well, prior to making the contact with Jeff and Bill, you know, back up probably not even 1 to 2 weeks prior to that, my husband wasn't feeling so good. He's only 44, had a little bit of pain in his back, nothing that most 44-year-old men don't have every now and then. We kind of dismissed it for a couple weeks. You know, he was doing some yard work and helping a neighbor with some heavy lifting, so we just kind of chucked it up to that.
Sure.
A few weeks go by, and he realizes that when he's eating, he struggles a little bit to eat. Like, he feels full very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of make the joke that, hey, we're getting older. Let's back off on some carbs. And makes total sense to me. And then a couple days go by, and he's still not feeling great. And we finally just said, let's go to the doctor. Otherwise healthy man, had a county life scan just 3 months prior to that, and everything was all clear. And he goes to the doctor on a Wednesday. She orders some labs, decides on an ultrasound, a CT scan on Thursday. And Friday, I go with him to the doctor to get the results. And our doctor led with, I'm so sorry, how old are your kids? And shock set in at that point.
Sure.
So, and that's when she starts reading the actual CT results that were given to her, the actual technical writing of it,
mm-hmm.
And letting us absorb that. So we left Friday, September 21st of this year with a stage 4 cancer diagnosis. The following week, on Monday, we had a PET scan, and the following Thursday, a biopsy. We then learned that it is stage 4 adenocarcinoma that began in his stomach. Speak to the cancer doctor, a local cancer doctor, and ask, okay, you know, what do we do? How do we beat this? And she looked me square in the eye and said, we don't beat this, Tanya. We just prolong his life. So within a very short span of time, we learned that my otherwise healthy husband was then not going to win this.
Amazing. Just a punch in the gut. That's what it has to be.
Yeah. A punch in the gut. A shift in reality. Definitely.
Yeah. So now he's in this situation where he needs treatment. And was there a way to, like, start working through the fire service paperwork to connect the two dots and see if there was going to be some way of taking care of this through work?
Right now, we're using his health insurance to cover all the medical side, and that wonderful family you led to earlier has stepped up for my husband and you know, donated time so that he could have the time off. The main financial hardship for our particular situation is I had to take time off work because he got so ill so quickly,
mm-hmm.
and I became basically a primary caregiver, so my income was gone. So, and we are the typical American two-income required family.
Yep.
We have
know
three
that well.
Yeah, we have three children, three girls, 17, 11, and 4, and they like to eat, so we have to keep the money coming. But the guys in the fire service were great and stepped up, and I've been, you know, without pay since the diagnosis, since the end of September, 1st of October, trying to take care of him. But so far, you know, the insurance is handling the medical side. We're just responsible for, obviously, our portions and just dealing with the basically being down to one income. And, you know, and firefighters, the overtime is great and things. So once that stops, that takes a little bit of hit to your paycheck and whatnot.
Right. Yep. It's all part of that the vicious circle that can be a good circle part of the time. And then, as you just said, when that circle is broken because of something like this, everything disappears, like goes up in smoke.
Mm-hmm.
So it has Have the doctors, have the department acknowledged that this is a occupational cancer?
No, not at this time. I think the locally at the county level, they're interested in wanting to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think everybody's main concern now is just getting him back to being healthy enough.
Right.
Obviously, I've had several firefighters come to me on a personal level asking me what's happening with that. And even though I want to have an answer, it's just not my top three right now of need to get done.
Right.
But like I said, at a county level, they do want to be able to have access to some testing and some samples and things that the doctors have found to see if there is, if they can create a link between the two.
Right.
Because we went ahead and did some genetic testing on my husband just to see, because he had no other risk factors,
right,
family or anything else. So we opted to have some additional testing done, and all those genetic markers came back negative, that it's not genetically traded at all, which is good news for our children.
Right.
But still leaves that, how did this happen to him?
Exactly.
Left open.
Exactly. But to go to switch slide over to, Bill and Jeff. So when you were here last time, we talked about that there is, all three of you coming from the insurance industry, and you've seen policies galore, I'm sure, come and go. Ones you liked, ones you didn't like, you had to sell it anyway. But you found this new policy, and it's, I believe it's called Living Benefits. Is that correct?
That is correct, Steve.
Okay, great. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a little break here, and we've laid out for you, our listeners, the situation. And what's sad to say is that Jeremy and Tanya are not alone. We have firefighters all over the country, Canada, Europe, Middle East, and the Far East, who are now in a similar situation. So we can only address what we can do here in this country. And we're going to do that when we come back right after these words. So please stay tuned. No matter where we live, or no matter the season, there is always work to be done that makes us sweat. Just how can we keep cool? Well, Hennessy Distributing has the answer. Cool towels. Cool towels are 100% cotton towel and pre-moistened with all natural ingredients. The best part? No water is needed. Just open your cool towel pack, remove the towel, and give it a couple of shakes, and you're all set. Wrap it around your neck like a kerchief, wipe your face, arms, neck, or any exposed skin, and it is approximately 20 to 30 degrees below the ambient temperature. Wait, did it warm up? No problem. Just shake it a couple of times again, and Cool Towel delivers its refreshing cool touch all over again. When the cooling mixture has expired, use your cool towel as you would any cloth or rag around the house. Because it is manufactured from 100% cotton, your cool towel is 100% recyclable. For more information or to get your cool towel today, visit www.cooltowel.com or call 1-800-918-8323. Remember, you're going to work and you're going to sweat. Make Cool Towel your answer to keeping cool.
The tone sound and the dispatcher announces, stations 14 and 16, working residential structure. That was all you needed to hear. You jump up from your chair, head to the engine, and climb into the jump seat. As the cue screams, you take stock of your PPE, bunker pants, check, turnout coat, check, hood, check, gloves, check, escape line, check, SCBA strapped on, you're ready. Upon arrival, you jump off the apparatus, grab the loops of the red cross lay, and head for the open front door where smoke is pouring out. You make sure your buddy's behind you. You crouch low and make your way inside, your trusty SCBA mask hanging on your tool belt. What? Stop everything. What the hell are you thinking? You see it's a working room and contents fire, and the smoke is banking down almost to the floor. Who do you think you are, Superman? One breath of that crap and the smoke will damage you in some way, guaranteed. All the soot, carbon, carcinogens, and other outgassing materials will enter your body through the pores on your unprotected face. Don't be the domino. The the first person down that forces everyone else to change their tasks to take care of you. Always remember, face peace on. You have comrades depending on you and a family to go home to. Face peace on. You're ready to call it a night. The kids are tucked in, the lights are out, and the dog's in the den. Seems all is calm. But stop. It's not all right. To keep you and your family safe in the event of a fire, we're advising you to close before you doze. Close your bedroom doors when you go to sleep. Why? Because closed doors dramatically decrease heat and carbon monoxide levels, which provide trapped occupants more time for help to arrive. And closed doors can slow the spread of the fire, increase oxygen levels, and decrease temperatures dramatically. You've invested in smoke, fire, and carbon monoxide detectors. You've even practiced Edith drills with your family. Now learn another important way to protect all of you. Close before you doze. Also remember, if you are able to escape, make sure the last one out closes the main door. Remember, close before you doze. This message is brought to you by the UL Fire Safety Team, closebeforeyoudoze.org, your local fire department, and this podcaster. Welcome back to this episode of Five Alarm Task Force, news and issues for today's first responders. And today I'm welcoming back Jeff Rountree and Bill Hamilton of the Hoods for Heroes program, two gentlemen who come from the insurance industry and decided that they did not want to see the plague of cancer in the fire service go without some sort of mitigation. So they dedicated themselves to providing new hoods, flash hoods, that we wear under our helmets, made from a new weave, type of weave that will prevent soot and toxins and carcinogens from passing through while we're sweating and working at a fire, and then getting onto our skin, which is very sensitive around the ears, the face, the neck, etc. So that took them through, and they're doing that. They're doing a great job. They got requests from all over the country. But they also, coming from the insurance industry, they also saw that once this diagnosis is made, that there can be some terrible financial ramifications, loss of income for the one who is ill. Maybe the spouse who's also been working, probably, as our guest Tanya said, as demands in today's society, that's a two-income family, must be the caregiver and loses some of that. So they've found a policy that they're going to talk about now that you may be interested in, that may help you. This is not a sales pitch. Those of you who listen to me regularly know that I like to get the word out about things that can help the fire service. You have to do your due diligence and you make your decisions. But I think this is important information because of what we're going through today. So Bill and Jeff and Tanya, I'm going to leave it to the three of you and let us know what this is about and how it works, please.
Well, thanks, Steve. And again, thanks for providing that introduction. And as you alluded to, we don't consider this being here as a sales pitch either, Steve. We are educators. We've been doing this a very long time and know what the risk is for the general public. We also know what the risk is for fire service, which, you know, led us in this direction to educate in this arena, bring the awareness, because one of the biggest things we always talk about, the more we get entrenched in fire service, is you got to take action while you have options. And there is a lot of great stuff going on right now with life scans and PET scans and just trying to get baselines and decon initiatives and all these different ways to hopefully help get diagnoses early where we can get treatment early, as well as reduce exposures and hopefully reduce diagnoses.
Right.
But at the same time, this is still going on, as you alluded to earlier, all across the country. You know, we're connected with several cancer support networks throughout fire service, and we know the diagnoses are coming in daily from across the country. So part of this program was built to, again, with Hoods for Heroes, not only reduce exposure and hopefully protect firefighters from being diagnosed with cancers in the future, but this Who Pays for Cancer program was built to help talk about the one side that's not being talked about, which is the financial side of a cancer diagnosis. When we've been asked, you know, what inspired us to help create firefighter living benefits, I'll go back to what Tanya stated, which is Florida's one of those states. It's not recognized, there is no presumptive cancer legislation. So if I am in fire service and I'm diagnosed with cancer, even though the statistics say that it should be considered from my position as a firefighter, in the state of Florida, it is not recognized as that. So we know in some other states there is, but, you know, we'll talk about, you know, where that's a good thing and where that's not such a good thing.
Okay.
Yeah. And the reality, Steve, is it's much like any other financial preparation. Again, fire service is a thankless but a high-risk job, as we discussed. And the reality is we're going to do everything we can. And there's a lot of agencies out there that are going to do everything they can to help reduce those exposures, but the risk is still there.
Right.
And that won't change.
Exactly.
It's always going to be a higher risk occupation. So we have to talk about the financial preparation, because as you mentioned before, Steve, the reality is no one wants to hear the ugly C word.
Right.
But once it happens, there's a bunch of things that start to cascade. One is preparation, two is treatment. As Tanya mentioned earlier, potential loss of income for not only the primary, but also the spouse.
Right.
And it's been our experience over the last decade plus that that's just not something that a lot of people want to think about. And unfortunately, the time to prepare or the time to think about that is not after you get a diagnosis, because in most cases, from a preparation perspective, it's just too late. So we want to address that. We want to talk about what's out there. And to your point earlier, we do consider ourselves educators. And part of the program that we put together is to educate fire service and the families of fire service of what, not only what's out there, how does it work, and are you truly protected? And really, what does that look like when it comes down to brass tacks?
Mm-hmm.
But talk about some of these new programs like Living Benefits program that we've developed and how that really provides that blanket of protection. Because the reality is you have a couple of different components to diagnosis, Steve. One is you have people who will be diagnosed with some of the earlier stage cancers that, you know, hopefully they'll be in and out in a couple of months and maybe there's no loss of income, no loss of work, and not a big financial impact. All the way, unfortunately, to some of the later stage diagnoses that will have a larger financial impact on the family. So how do we prepare for that? And we think we've done a pretty good job of making some options available that, as Jeff mentioned, simply people simply just need to be made aware that they exist and give them the option to make that part of their preparation plan.
Okay. Sounds very good. And it sounds like a sound idea. You know, just off air, we talked about the fact that that my wife and I, about 20 years ago, decided that we didn't want our two daughters to be burdened with the last minute arrangements. I've done, as I said, in my job, I did that many, many times. So we did a pre-need program, and everything from, I hate to use the very trite, but from everything from soup to nuts is all squared away and taken care of. We felt that it was the appropriate thing for us to do. They're aware of it. And we made that plan because we didn't want to take a chance that they would, whatever happened to us, would have a very negative impact on our children and or grandchildren if they ever show up. But I think I see what you're saying in a very similar manner. Let's be prepared for what life may bring us. We're in a tough...
Well, Steve, that's always one part of it, is handling that, you know, final expense side. That's part of a conversation we always have with clients. One of the biggest conversations we have is how to protect yourself during your higher risk, your income generating year. So, right. You know, we know in fire service, there's a lot of supplemental options out there. We won't throw out any company names, but we know who they are. And, you know, they offer a lot of different types of supplemental policies. So they'll have a separate cancer policy. They'll have a hospital policy. They'll have an accidental policy, critical illness policy. So, you know, those are all great policies. But if I have a critical illness policy and I get cancer, it doesn't help me.
Right.
If I have a cancer policy and I have a heart attack, it doesn't help me. if I break my leg and don't have the accidental policy, or I'm paralyzed and don't have the accidental policy, it doesn't help me. So you kind of have to carry multiple different types of policies in order to actually give yourself what we, you know, typically will call like a much broader amount of protection for your pie of risk. And typically with even those supplemental policies, they're going to max out on a single payout at 25,000, you know, really, really extreme cases, maybe 50, which again, that's a great start. But if you talk to, you know, a firefighter that we know out of the Boynton Beach area that, you know, had stage 4 larynx cancer and now uses a voice modulator, you know, just one of his hospital visits was $750,000. So while insurance kicks in, you know, where is your income protection coming from? If you actually pass away, God forbid, that's not coming from your supplemental insurance either. That doesn't prepare you for the death side of this unfortunate conversation. So this living benefits was designed around fire service for the simple fact that the risk is much higher. And there has to be a pool of money, and 25 grand, I always like to say, is, you know, a butterfly stitch for a tourniquet wound, right?
Like, right.
I mean, you got a gaping artery open, you can't throw a little butterfly stitch on and expect to stop the bleeding.
That's for sure.
Living benefits provides the actual protection that can help you on all those fronts. So heart attacks, cancer, strokes, organ failures, paralysis, blindness, there's 18 different triggers that allows you the ability to now accelerate a policy that's not going to just pay you $5,000, $15,000, $25,000, but it's going to pay you and your family six figures or more, depending on what that policy looks like. So you go from, you know, the spouse out of work, having to get medical treatment, having to pay for your transportation, pay for your medicines, all these other things that are involved with a stage 3, stage 4 diagnosis, and you quickly end up spiraling into debt for that family. And so Living Benefits provides a true vehicle to protect income on multiple levels. And I'll let Bill kind of allude to that.
Well, the main thing, Steve, is, again, if you do this job for, you know, longer than a decade, you get to see things, as I mentioned earlier, that most people don't think about until you hear the words, you know, the words or the phrase you have cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as we work through this and as we try to bring this awareness to fire service, you know, cancer is a hot topic right now. Everywhere we go, every convention, every expo, it's at the front of mind for all of fire service. And the more that we see behind the curtain, the more that we realize that cancer is a huge problem. It's an enormous problem, but cardiac issues are still a problem. Accidents where firefighters are losing their lives, EMTs are losing their lives in car accidents and things of that nature, those are still a problem. Firefighters being exposed to, you know, burning or being burnt in the line of duty is still a problem. All these things are an issue. And you know, firefighters do this job for the love of the job. You know, it is not the highest paying career that you could seek, as you know.
That's right.
So the most important thing is, A, being aware. What's out there? How does it work? How is it really going to protect me if any of these things happen? And then most important, is it affordable? So as we thought and really kind of designed this for months and months and months, we kept all of those things in mind. So none of this is to the exclusion of any of the companies that offer life insurance, or as we call it, death insurance, because it only pays, God forbid, if you die.
Right.
But the supplemental policies, cancer, critical illness, accident, none of this is to the exclusion of those policies. But the reality is, whether you're a firefighter or not, to have a full suite of protection that covers you in case of accident, illness, critical illness, chronic illness, death. Most people can't afford $150, $200 a month to give themselves all of that protection.
Sure.
So it was just important that we found something that matched all of those needs and did it to where the average person out there fighting for their community could afford it. And again, that's how the Living Benefits program was developed. So we're real proud of our ability to bring that to fire service. And it's not just for fire service, really, Steve, it's for all first responders. But one of the things that we really wanted to focus on was the Who Pays for Cancer initiative, because going back to what was said before, when you look at the presumptive cancer legislation in some of the other states, we applaud the states who have taken the initiative to put that stuff in place, but we've been fortunate enough to create relationships all across the country. And we've seen what some of those policies look like. And at the end of the day, they fall short in a lot of areas, and they're really designed to help offset medical expenses, which is good, but they're not designed to offset loss of income for the primary and or the spouse. And that's going to be the greatest impact to any family. Because even if you can get your medical expenses covered, how are you going to replace, you know, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 of income?
Right.
As Tanya mentioned earlier, she hasn't been able to work since, you know, late September, early October. What are you going to have in place that helps to replace that income while she's being a caregiver and helping her family through the process of making sure her husband gets better?
Right.
And that's a great, that's a tremendous emotional stress to have to worry about that, as well as all the treatment and all the other things that happen once someone is diagnosed, regardless of the stage.
Right, right. You know, it reminds me when I was 29 and I was working at a location upstate New York, somebody came into my office to sell me disability insurance. So I was 29, I was a volunteer firefighter. I could have lost a little bit of weight, but I said, what are you talking about? That's not, I don't need something like that. That's for somebody who's in a wheelchair or on crutches and stuff.
Not gonna happen to me, right?
Yeah, so that was 1981. And jump ahead to, I went through my bumps the next 4 years in the fire service, this, that, and I damaged the knee, so I had to pull out. But I was able to still do my job. My civilian job, had no problem. Then 1992, we were down here in Florida, and I woke up with a backache one morning. I just assumed it was a backache. I went to my chiropractor for 3 times, and after 3 times, he says, you know what? This isn't chiropractic. You need medical care. We got to see what's going on here. And within 4 days, I was in a MRI and had a bad herniation on a disc. Bad enough that that was in September, that by November, I was declared disabled. And where I was working, after the second pay period, I got a note from the boss that said, this will be the last check we're issuing. If you ever get better, come back and knock on my door. But I had that policy. And we had only bought our house in June. Hurricane Andrew hit in September, at the end of August, and then I basically became disabled in September. That policy saved our house. That policy saved our dignity. And for the most part, there were a bunch of loopholes I had to jump through, and that was okay. It's fine. But if I can see that's a same sort of package foundation like that, that then expands like a billowing parachute and covers all the items that you mentioned, two incomes and this expense and that expense, to me it becomes a no-brainer. And especially if this cost is at a level that almost any firefighter, career or even a volunteer, could afford, I think it's a no-brainer. Because we are in a situation that we're trying to get out of, but we don't necessarily, we're not the boss of the situation any longer. Nature is. And we're working hard. We have great doctors and researchers knocking the socks off to try to get this under control. But we have to play a part in it. And we have to play several parts in it. One part is taking care of ourselves. And the second one is, if something happens, being prepared for it. We wouldn't go on a call to a working fire not taking our bunker gear with us, not pulling an axe off the apparatus, not getting ready to pull the hose line. We are prepared. that's just the nature of the job we do. And I'm sure, Tanya, you asked Jeremy, he would say the exact same thing. He never would get off an apparatus without something in his hand, ready to do something with it.
Exactly, exactly. That is definitely what they're trained for. The minute those tones go off and the call comes through, they're already, you know, laying the groundwork for the plan that they have when they arrive on scene. And things we didn't consider going through, what we are going through, is not just, it's easy to say the loss of income, the increase in financial burden due to additional insurance and medicine and child care arrangements and whatnot. But something that I don't think a lot of people think of when they get a diagnosis like this is now we're trying to cram the lives of our children and their future and the memories that they were going to make with their dad in a very short amount of time.
Right.
So, and that's an additional expense to work on spending every moment that he's well enough doing something to make memories with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going to the museum or doing stuff that we want to do as parents anyway. But once somebody starts that clock ticking, it speeds up that need. And that's not something I think people think about when they look at a diagnosis like this and the financial burden it puts on your family. So yes, I need to make sure the bills are paid. And yes, I need to make sure the mortgage is paid and the lights stayed on. But I'm also trying to preserve the emotions of my children and give them something in the future to look back at with their dad and make these amazing memories. And doing that is an expense of itself.
Right. There's no Make-A-Wish Foundation for firefighters.
Yeah, and there's a lot of groups that step up and try to help.
Mm-hmm.
But as the wife of a firefighter, and like you said earlier, they like to keep that stuff in the family per se. And I'm not one to say, you know, come help me do this for my family. If this product was something I was aware of before, knowing how much that we spend on our typical, because I sell insurance, I have a policy for my husband. He has policies through work with life insurance. I'm not going to see any of that until I have to let him go.
Right.
And prior to that, we'll be putting ourselves into a great deal of debt to take care of a lot of these things. And that's another stress on a family they don't need. So knowing that there's a product out there that could have saved me a lot of the fear and the anxiety that happened with this diagnosis and wondering what was going to happen with my kids. Had I known, I would have made different decisions. And that's why I love the education piece that Jeff and Bill are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Let people know that this is an option out there. What we've learned in the last 10, 15, 20 years about life insurance, there are other options. It's not all, you know, what do they say? One size fits all.
Yeah.
You're looking at a fire service and you see those statistics. It's important that they know there's other options out there to handle a diagnosis that could last, you know, 6 months, a year, 2 years before you could possibly even see a life insurance payout. And those, that time frame is debilitating to a family.
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt. On many levels. So where can our listeners go? What do you recommend that they do to get more information about living benefits and to see if there's a right fit for them?
Yeah, I'll give you a couple examples real quick, Steve, and then we can send people there because we do want to just share so you know people understand, because there is a conception that when we sit down and go over these policies, you can kind of see people bouncing numbers around in their head and going, well, man, this is going to be super expensive. Whether you know it or not, the average age of a firefighter in the U.S. Is around 38.8 years, so a little over 38 and a half. If a firefighter in that age group got a $350,000 living benefits policy, it would run them about $5 and some change a week. And in just an example benefit, if they were diagnosed with some form of, you know, cancer or heart attack, stroke, your typical payout's about 50% of that benefit. So they'd be looking at a check of around $175,000. And that check wouldn't come like your typical legislation, 12 months waiting period or 6 month waiting period. That's day 31. So you have instant relief. And the more severe the diagnosis, God forbid it's, you know, unfortunately, like something Jeremy and Tanya are dealing with, that policy would accelerate it almost the full 350. So you talk about changing, it changes a lot of, well, it gives you a lot of options that you wouldn't have. So even going to get some other, you know, type of different types of treatment that you're not going to get through your insurance company, or you're not going to get through workman's comp if you are in a legislative state where they do have legislation and you're stuck on workman's comp, you would now have those options available because you'd have the money to actually have those resources.
Right.
So, you know, in Jeremy's case at 44, it would have ran him about $8 a week for the same policy.
And that payout, Steve, is tax-free lump sum.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay it back. It's not a loan against the benefit. It's an acceleration of the death benefit in the policy. So that money is the beneficiaries or the beneficiary's family, it's theirs to keep.
That's amazing. I mean, that price, I did not, I'll be honest, I did not expect it to be that low. It really
most
didn't.
People don't see. We did a lot of work because even in the general public world that Bill and I have worked in for over a decade, it's always about affordability. Like if you can't afford what you have and your brakes go out in your car, you now have a decision to make. You're financial protection should never be part of that decision. So affordability is very, very big for us. I'll give you a couple other things too, and then we can send them in the right direction. So God forbid you've already had a diagnosis of cancer, a thyroid, a colon,
testicular,
prostate, you've already had a heart attack, you already had a mini stroke, any of these things, our living benefits we've designed actually covers pre-existing conditions. So even if you've had a bout of, let's say you had a stage one colon cancer 5 years ago, you can still get living benefits that will provide you protection for another bout of colon cancer. As crazy as that is, it
wow,
is true.
That's amazing.
I will also tell you, we get asked all the time, you know, I'm single, what do I need living benefits for? I would tell that person that's single they need it as much or more because there is no backup income. There's no other income coming in to help you if you are diagnosed. So don't take into account, you know, being young and healthy and it's not going to be me. Don't be that guy. You know, Steve, you just gave me a whole nother visual, which is, you know, these guys would never get guys and gals would never get off their truck without what they've already been trained, the equipment to carry.
Right.
This is no different. You shouldn't be going out of your front door without making sure you've got your financial training straight and that your protection is in place when you know that your risk is so high. That was just a great visual for me, so I appreciate you sharing that, Steve.
Well, I think it's appropriate. I mean, we're talking basically, although as you mentioned earlier, that the policy is available for all first responders.
Yep.
And you know, unfortunately, this has been. The last 6 weeks have been a terrible 6 weeks in the first responder community with the police officers being shot, a chief struck and killed at a scene, a young EMT firefighter lost her life in a crash responding the other day, another one. It's just been a really very difficult 6 weeks.
It has.
And even when you look at the news clips with the storms coming, and this big storm now that's coming across the Midwest heading eastbound, the one thing that's always in almost every shot, you'll see first responders out there.
Yep.
No matter how bad the snow, the sleet, how bad the crashes are, that news clip will almost always have first responders because that's who we are and it's what we do. We're not going to say, oh, I'm not going out to that. Look what's going on outside. You just can't do that. And, you know, another one that just popped in is that when you said the young guy or gal who's, you know, in their early 20s and they're single, what do I need it for? Ask your landlord. That's all. What happens when you're draining all your financial ability into your treatment and your care? Who's going to pay the rent?
Yep.
That's what it boils down to. Where, you know, you can say, oh, you're moving into a family. But, yeah, but that's not being prepared. You have been trained as a firefighter to be prepared for almost every eventuality that we can see based on our history and our experience in the fire service over many years in this country and around the world. No, we can't be prepared for everything, and we know that, but that's the risk we're willing to take. But again, we all know how to be prepared to respond on a call. And Tanya, as you filled in from Jeremy's experience, that we plan as soon as we're on the rig. Heading out, we already know what we're going to do based on what the information we have. We plan it out. The driver knows what he's going to do. The officer tells the two guys, or the three guys and gals in the back, who's going to pull the hose, who's going to stretch it, who's going to be on the nozzle, who's going to make the hookup. We're always prepared and know what to do. Well, this is what this is all about. This benefits program is about hearing the bell go off, the adrenaline starts flowing, and you go to take care of your, of somebody on their worst day, knowing that you are now prepared for what could be your worst day. That's the way I see it. I think it boils down to that simple analogy.
You know, Steve, we've been fortunate enough to, we're coming up on a year and kind of working in and around fire service. And we're very blessed at being able to witness the change and the evolution in safety just in that last year. Excuse me, on the cancer front and some of these other decon initiatives and such. And we do a lot of studying, and we follow a lot of collaboratives and foundations that are all pushing towards the safety initiative, which is tremendous. And I think Jeff said it at the onset. One of the things that if we could, as being non-service fire service professionals, if we could really implore these foundations and collaboratives to really focus on, is to continue to talk about the prevention, the awareness, the support, but really to factor in the financial preparation as well. Because as a society, when we as a whole, whether you're fire service or otherwise, are not prepared financially to pay for illness and critical and chronic illness, whether you're fire service or not, Steve, is the number one drain on our society from a medical standpoint.
Sure.
If we're not prepared, that responsibility at the end of the day ultimately funnels down to us as individual taxpayers. And we're happy to help our fellow man, but we encourage that, you know, we really start to look at the financial preparation of illness in fire service, in law enforcement, from a military standpoint, whether it be from mental illness all the way to cancer and everything in between, really start to address putting your house of cards in order for the illness. Again, whether it be mental illness, whether it be critical illness, whether it be chronic illness, really start to put that house of cards in order. Because it's just a few simple steps that you could take to understand where the risk is and to address it. And we're happy to help you go through that process, to really look at what you have in place, to help explain how it works, how it doesn't work, and to make recommendations, whether it's something that we offer or not, to make recommendations on how you can prepare yourself for if and when that day comes and you get the message that, you know, you're sick, whether it be from cancer or anything else. So
right. And you brought up another great point, which we didn't mention, but besides the cancer initiative, we've taken on, thank goodness, the behavioral health initiative as well. Because in 2017, the simple fact is we lost more firefighters to their own hand than we did to line of duty deaths. So it's my hope that part of the coverage that we were talking about also can it help with behavioral health. That happens because once a family or somebody is diagnosed with a life-changing disease situation, that changes their whole behavioral health outlook. And we want to make sure that that's part of the care that they get as well. I know the toll it can take. I've seen it. And I'm very happy that the fire service as a group is now addressing that issue. I'm hoping that as you guys lead the charge, as far as, you know, I know, to provide fire first responders with these type of policies, that they will see and understand that this protection is protection for them today and tomorrow and the tomorrows to come.
Yeah, most definitely, Steve. That's part of what, you know, the design behind this was to give that protection that really just hasn't been there. I think for, you know, there's a lot of good carriers out there doing good stuff, but I think sometimes the onus gets lost on between, you know, selling insurance and truly providing the best protection for the person and not really worrying about, you know, what you're going to get paid for it. Let's just get people protected. Let's give them options that they can afford, that God forbid they do hear that bad big C word or any of the others, you know, heart attack, stroke, cancer, these other things, the accidents that are happening, the suicide. Those are all things that, you know, have been built into living benefits to provide that protection. And, you know, we've built some good resources as well. And if anybody just needs somebody to talk to, we've got some great partnerships. We've teamed up with companies that help with PTSD. So we just want to be those educators. And again, for us, it's helped the people that give up everything every day to help everybody else. And that's where we, you know, truly our passion is at, is providing that same level of protection for those special people. So I'll give you one last thing, Steve, and then we can hand out kind of how they can reach us and you know, move forward if it's something that we can help them review their what they have and so forth. But
and this is a big one, Steve.
This is really big. So these life scans and PET scans and testing that's being done on the counties and state levels is fantastic. You know, early diagnosis is key to survival. But I can also tell you, if you don't have your ducks in a row when you're talking preparing or doing your financial training, do not get that life or PET scan done. Let's call us, reach out to us. Let's review what your protection is. Let's review what policies you have. Let us show you what options are available, because once a diagnosis is made, we can't protect you.
No one can.
No one can. So the biggest thing is we're loving to see that some of these folks that over the years we've heard, you know, I don't really want to know. For us, it's let's get you to find out what your options are while you can still take action. And that's one of the biggest things I hope people can take from this is please, please, please don't just stick your head in the sand. You know, being from Florida, we talk about all the time, you know, and you'll relate to this with fire service and training. You know, if I hear a Category 1 storm is rolling in Florida, you know, I know I'm probably not going to get to chill by the pool this weekend, but I'm not going to start boarding up the house and, you know, planning to leave the state. You start telling me a Category 3 or 4 is rolling in, I start paying attention. And I'm going to probably take some more preventative measures to make sure that my house is in order and I've got everything prepped up and ready to go to handle that storm. I relate cancer to fire service the same. It's a Category 3 or 4 storm that's just running rampant throughout fire service, and everybody's being made, it's there, and the storm is brewing. You don't know if your house is the one that's going to get hit by that storm.
Right. Great analogy.
So the biggest thing you can do is let's get some boards up. Let's get you protected. You may not have to leave town, but let's at least do the preparation that you need, knowing what a Category 3 or 4 can do. Let's get some preparation together on our financial side. So God forbid I get that diagnosis. The last thing I have to worry about is the financial side. I got plenty of other stuff to worry about other than where's my money coming from, as you said, to pay the landlord, pay the rent, and handle everything else that comes along with us just living our lives daily. So that's one of the biggest things is, and again, whether you call us or call someone else, before you get your scans done, please get your financial stuff in order while you have a chance to do that. That's one of the biggest pieces of advice that we can share with first responders and firefighters across the country, because we are running into it daily of getting the call after the fact.
Right.
You know, I've been diagnosed. What can I do now? And it's not a fun conversation to say there's nothing I can do. I can't help you. As a person that loves to help people as well, I hate delivering that information.
Oh, I'm sure. All right. So where do they go? Where do they go from this point?
Yep. So couple of things. We are on Facebook and your other social media as well. It's under FF Living Benefits. So F like fire, F like fighter, Living Benefits on Facebook. Our website is F like fire, F like fighter, livingbenefits.com. And they can also call us at 904-541-8257. Those are probably the three easiest ways to reach out to us. And I think, like you said, I think you've got our link and so forth on your site as well. We'd be glad to help. We are all across the United States. We are not just a Florida-based company. Again, Bill and I have been doing this a very long time, and we are nationally licensed. So we can help you, whatever state you're listening to this in. Please don't hesitate. Call us, reach out to us on Facebook, and let's take a look and see if we can get you protected.
Okay, that's great. And also their email, if you're interested, is info@FCFSJAX.com. Again, info@FCFSJAX.com. Gentlemen and Tanya, thank you so very much for spending time today with my listeners and me. All I can do is hope that our listeners will at least pay attention to what they heard today, absorb it, and start making a plan for their life. So as you just said towards the end of your comments, Jeff, that you don't have to give them that answer after they've been diagnosed and they say, what can you do to help me? That they'll be proactive. Matter of fact, it was just one of our other great teachers in the fire service. I was just listening to a recent podcast of his and was talking about, are we proactive firefighters or reactive firefighters? Well, most of the time we're reactive. We can be proactive, more drills, doing this, that, another thing. But we're often reactive. Well, you know what? In this situation, we need to be proactive. It's out there. We've had information about the cancer situation, the fire service, out as far as we can, even into the rural departments, whether career or volunteer or part paid, wildland, the information is going out there. People are learning about it. Not everybody's at the same level, but they know that it's out there. And it's time as a firefighter or first responder for you to get your ducks in order and be prepared for any call that comes in, just like we are, because sometimes the call's not coming in from your dispatch center, the call's coming in from inside your body, and you need to be ready to answer that call. So the three of you, thank you so very much. I continue to try to promote Hoods for Heroes as much as we can here. I think it's a great program. I think living benefits program is a smart deal. That's what it is. As an old fart here, sitting here and having gone through certain insurance situations, I can say that it's a smart deal. It's how to prepare your loved ones and yourself should you have some sort of injury, illness, something happens that takes you out of the situation you're in now and puts you in a spiral that you've never expected or planned for. Do it. Get ready, be prepared, and then go on with your life.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure. Thanks very much. I really appreciate it. If you need anything from us, you know how to reach me. Just reach out and I'll be there. Sorry, I had to say the song lyrics. Can't help it. Folks, we'll be right back right after these words. Please stay tuned. Remember when you were a young boy or girl and someone bullied you or teased you? Where did you most often turn to? Like many of us, you turned to your family. If you're a first responder, you probably no longer worry about those childhood problems, but there are plenty more that can affect us. Lack of sleep, the tragedy and horror we often see, even life's everyday stumbling blocks like family illness, money, and job problems, and more. So where do we turn now? Your gut reaction might be to keep it to yourself and not tell anyone about the hell you're going through. However, that's not going to help you or anyone else. Instead, you could start with your second family. Someone you work with at the firehouse, on the ambulance, or at the station house. You spend a lot of time with them, don't you? And most of them understand many of the problems you're dealing with. Reach out to a coworker or an officer you trust. Speak to clergy of your house of worship. But don't keep it inside, gnawing away at you.
that's not good for you or anyone around you. Know that there are people who stand ready to listen to you and help you without passing judgment. Remember, to carry out your oath to protect life and property, the first life you have to care for is your own. This message is brought to you by this podcaster. He's been there and done it.
So 5 tacos of cheese and a large soda, that's $10,012. Please drive around.
Wait, 10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Steve Green. Happy New Year to all of you. Something's changed, some things stay the same. For me, staying the same is I'm still having a problem with my throat after a bout of bronchitis and severe laryngitis. But we're pushing through. 2019, where did 2018 disappear to, huh? It went by really, really fast. I think maybe the older I get, the faster those times go by. But 2019 holds a lot of promise for us. But we have to do it together. And we have to want to make the changes. We have to want to evolve. We want to have to make the fire service better. We have to want to make ourselves better as well. Learn more. Mentor others. Teach where you can. Learn wherever you can. And most importantly, we have to look out for one another. This year, 2019, will be a year for us to work to overcome some of the greatest hurdles that we have. First is our cancer initiative. There is no excuses anymore. Just about everybody knows that we have a problem in the fire service with cancer. But we can't let cancer beat us. We have to take the upper hand. We have to take care of ourselves and make sure that we beat cancer. Number two, behavioral health. We have to look out for one another. We are a family. We always say that, don't we? We always say, my firehouse, my brothers, etc. We're a family. Well, as you know very well, sometimes some of the folks in the family aren't doing too well for many reasons. Sometimes you know the reasons and sometimes you don't. But they're still members of the family, so you look out for them. We have to do that in the fire service, too. We have to make that effort to make sure that our brothers and sisters, and not just in the fire service, we have to make sure no matter what part of first responders we belong to, whether we're law enforcement, EMS, or firefighters, we have to make sure that our brothers and sisters are handling what life's throwing at them okay. Don't be afraid to reach out. Don't think, well, I don't want to bother them, or I don't want to stick my nose where it doesn't belong. We're a family. Your nose belongs wherever you want to put it to help take care of somebody else. Remember that. Also, we're working hard with development of new products, new vaccines, everything we can to keep us healthy. But you have to want to keep yourself healthy as well. We have some great firefighters out there who are wonderful mentors and teachers for physical health. Follow them on Twitter. Follow them on Instagram. Go to their websites. Okay, if you need help with that, look at our website, dalmatianproductions.tv, and look at our podcast listings. You'll see them all there because they've been on our show a couple of times talking about firefighter health. You hold the key to your own health. Don't look to anybody else, and don't put the blame anywhere else. If you want to be healthy, you're the ones to make that decision, and you have to put it into effect. You have to make yourself healthy. At 65, if I could lose 40 pounds and walk 2.5 miles in less than a half hour, that was what I decided to do. You can decide to do the same thing. Make yourself healthier. Lose weight. Get conditioned. Make believe you're going to take another CPAP test. Or ask somebody to give you another CPAP test. You can do it if you want to. 2019,
holds a lot of promise for the fire service and for first responders in general. Oh yeah, and let's not forget that blocking problem we all have. Okay, you got to get out there and make sure you and your department and your community set up a great and safe blocking problem to protect all the first responders and the recovery people who go out there on active roadway emergencies. We are losing too many wonderful, great, devoted, and dedicated people to distracted drivers. Let's make 2019 a year that we're going to take the upper hand on that as well. We're going to set up good blocking programs, safe blocking programs to protect all the first responders who are out there on roadways during emergencies. So God bless all of you. Take care of each other. And have a great 2019. And that's my view. Did you know that 90% of American communities are served by volunteer fire departments, and that many of those departments are actively looking for more volunteers? When you hear those sirens, do you say to yourself, "Wish I could do that"? If you have the drive to serve, you can be a volunteer too. Volunteer and combo departments are always looking for new recruits. You'll be trained in the latest firefighting and rescue techniques and protecting your community at the same time. You'll be joining the ranks of over 1 million men and women who serve their cities and towns, protecting lives and property. Did you know that the founder of the first volunteer fire department was Benjamin Franklin? If old Ben can do it, so can you. Drop by your local fire department and introduce yourself. You just might know some of the folks already there. Before you know it, those volunteers will be like family. Anyone can be a volunteer, sure. It takes time and effort, but in your heart, you'll realize that it's all worth it. Want more information? Contact your local fire department or visit makemeafirefighter.org. And that wraps this episode of 5-Alarm Task Force, news and issues for today's first responders. I would like to thank our guests, Jeff Rountree, Bill Hamilton from Hoods for Heroes, and their guest, Tanya, for joining us to discuss who pays once there's a diagnosis of cancer and how do living benefits work. Did you know you can now find us and subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and most podcast streaming services? Just search for 5-Alarm Task Force. I also want to give a very special thanks to my sponsor, Insight Training LLC, your best bet for fire service thermal imaging training, and all our promotional partners who have stuck with the show and really been there behind us since the very beginning. Dalmatian Productions, the Firehouse Tribune, Chief Miller Products and Sites, Hennessy Distributing, your source for the cool towel, the Firefighter Cancer Foundation, the Firefighter Cancer Support Network, and the 2018 Great Florida Fire School. We hope you'll follow us on Twitter at DalMadProd at @cause_origin or on Facebook at /DalMadProd or DalMadProdFire. We wish you the very best for the coming year. We hope it'll be a safe year for you, a positive year for you, a settled year for you, giving you peace, good health, prosperity, and a smile on your face. I'm Steve Green. Until next time, stay safe, and let's make sure everyone goes home.